You missed a spot. My aunt's voice dripped with satisfaction as she pointed at the grout. Start over. And this time, do it right. My knees were raw, my fingers bleeding, but I kept scrubbing with that tiny toothbrush. Please, Aunt Cordelia, I've been doing this for 3 hours. 4 hours now. Since you want to talk back. My aunt made me clean the bathroom with a toothbrush as discipline. Hi, I'm Zinnia. Today, I'm going to tell you my story. But before I continue, please like, share and subscribe to hear more stories like this. Growing up, everyone thought Aunt Cordelia was a saint. She took me in when I was 12 after my parents died in a car accident. The whole town praised her generosity, poor Cordelia, taking on her sister's child when she already had 2 kids of her own. What they didn't see was what happened behind closed doors. Zinnia's so lucky, people would say. Cordelia treats her like one of her own. If only they knew how her own were treated. My cousins, Thane and Alara, were 16 and 14 when I moved in. They knew the rules, keep your head down, don't draw attention, and maybe you'd escape her notice for a day. But there was a hierarchy in that house, and I was at the bottom. Your parents left nothing, Cordelia reminded me daily. Every bite of food you eat, every thread on your back, comes from my pocket. The least you can do is be useful. Useful meant being the house servant. While Thane and Alara did normal chores, I deep cleaned everything. Baseboards with cotton swabs. Grout with toothbrushes. Windows with newspaper until they squeaked. Any complaint meant the job took longer. Discipline builds character, she'd say, watching me scrub. Your mother was too soft on you. Look where that got her. The bathroom incident happened when I was 15. I'd been invited to Marlowe's birthday party, my only friend brave enough to still hang out with me despite Cordelia's reputation for being particular about my social life. Can I go? Please? I'll do extra chores tomorrow. Cordelia's eyes narrowed. Did you finish reorganizing the garage? Yes, ma'am. And the pantry? Alphabetized everything, just like you asked. She walked through the house, searching for any imperfection. Finally, she stopped at the guest bathroom. This toilet has water stains. I cleaned it yesterday. Clearly not well enough. You'll redo the entire bathroom. With this. She handed me a toothbrush. Not even a cleaning brush. An actual toothbrush. Every tile, every inch of grout. When you're done, if I find a single speck, you'll start over. But the party starts in 2 hours. Then you better hurry. I spent 6 hours on that bathroom floor. She made me restart twice, once because she found a hair behind the toilet, once because the mirror had a streak. By the time I finished, the party was long over, and my hands were raw from the cleaning chemicals. Maybe next time you'll do it right the first time, she said, inspecting my work with a magnifying glass. An actual magnifying glass. Thane found me crying in my room later. She's psycho, he whispered. But we're stuck until we're 18. Why doesn't anyone help us? Because she's Cordelia the saint. She volunteers at church, donates to charity, took in her poor orphaned niece. Who'd believe us? He was right. The few times I'd tried to tell teachers about the discipline, they'd brushed it off. Chores were normal. Structure was good for grieving children. I should be grateful I had a roof over my head. But gratitude is hard to feel when you're treating bleach burns on your hands at midnight. The breaking point came senior year. I'd secretly applied to colleges, forging Cordelia's signature on financial aid forms. When my acceptance letter to State University arrived with a full scholarship, I thought I'd found my escape. Cordelia had other plans. College? She laughed, tearing the letter in half. With what money? I got a full scholarship. For tuition. What about housing? Food? Books? You think I'm paying for you to party for 4 years? I'll get a job. You have a job. Here. Taking care of this house. That's your contribution to this family. I'm 18. You can't keep me here. Her smile was cold. Can't I? Where will you go? You have no money, no car, no other family. Unless you want to be homeless, you'll stay here and be grateful. That night, I heard her on the phone with her friend Meryl. Kids today have no appreciation. I saved that girl from foster care, and she wants to abandon us for some silly degree. After everything I've done for her. I realized then that I wasn't her niece. I was her unpaid servant, and she'd never let me go willingly. So I started planning. The first step was documenting everything. Every punishment, every hour of forced labor, every cruel comment. I took photos of my hands after particularly harsh cleaning sessions. I recorded her screaming at me for missing a spot on the kitchen floor. What's that? Ilara asked, catching me with my phone one day. Insurance, I said. Want to help? She did. Turns out, Cordelia's own kids were sick of her too. They just hid it better. Ilara started keeping her own records. Thane, who'd already escaped to college, sent us advice on building our case. She's been claiming you as a dependent on her taxes, he discovered. Getting credits for a child she treats like a slave. That's fraud. How do you know? I may have taken photos of her tax documents before I left. She keeps them in that locked drawer in her office. The one she said had private church donations? Yeah, about that. Remember all those fundraisers she organized? The money for the youth group trips that kept getting canceled? My stomach dropped. She didn't. Check the drawer yourself. Third key on her kitchen keychain, the one she thinks we don't know about. That weekend, while Cordelia was at her book club, Ilara played lookout while I searched the office. What I found made my hands shake. Bank statements showing church donations deposited into her personal account. Receipts for luxury items paid for with the church credit card. Years of embezzlement, small amounts that added up to thousands. Holy, Ilara gasped, reading over my shoulder. We need copies of everything. We spent an hour photographing documents, careful to put everything back exactly as we found it. The evidence was damning, but I needed more. I needed witnesses. That's when Marlo became crucial. My best friend had watched the abuse for years, powerless to help. But now she had an idea. My mom's book club meets at rotating houses. Cordelia's hosting next month. So what if her perfect mask slipped in front of everyone? We planned carefully. The day of the book club, I made sure to mess up just enough, a water spot on a glass, dust on a picture frame. Small things Cordelia would notice but couldn't fix without making a scene. The ladies arrived at 2. I served tea and cookies, playing the grateful niece while Cordelia preened. Zinni is such a help, she bragged. I don't know what I'd do without her. That's when she noticed the dusty frame. Her eye twitched. Zinnia, dear, her voice was syrup over poison, could you fix that picture? It seems crooked. I straightened it, deliberately leaving a fingerprint on the glass. Her face reddened. And while you're at it, maybe wipe it down? We don't want our guests thinking we live in filth. Of course, Aunt Cordelia. I cleaned it slowly, aware of the uncomfortable silence. When I turned to leave, she noticed the water spot on Mrs. Patterson's glass. For heaven's sake, she snapped, mask cracking. Can't you do anything right? Get a toothbrush and clean that properly. Now. A toothbrush? Mrs. Patterson asked. For a glass? She needs to learn attention to detail, Cordelia said tightly. Zinnia, the bathroom toothbrush. Bring it here. You want me to clean a glass with a bathroom toothbrush? I asked innocently. In front of your guests? Are you talking back to me? The room was dead silent. Six women watched as Cordelia's face went from red to purple. Get the toothbrush now. And while you're at it, you can scrub the entire kitchen floor with it too. These ladies can see what happens when you're lazy and disrespectful. Cordelia, Marlo's mom said carefully, that seems excessive. Don't tell me how to discipline my niece. I took her in when no one else would. I feed her, clothe her, and this is the gratitude I get? Sloppy work and backtalk? She's 18, another woman said. Surely. She's an ungrateful brat who needs to learn her place. Cordelia was fully unraveling now. Get on your knees and start scrubbing, or you can pack your bags and see how well you do on the streets. The silence was deafening. Then Marlo's mom stood up. I think we should continue book club elsewhere. One by one, they filed out, but not before several made eye contact with me. Mrs. Patterson squeezed my shoulder. Mrs. Chin slipped me a business card. They'd seen. Finally, they'd seen. Cordelia's explosion after they left was epic. But I didn't care anymore. I had witnesses. I had evidence. And I had a plan. The next day, I went to Mrs. Chen. Turns out, she was a social worker. I've suspected something was wrong for years, she admitted. But Cordelia always had explanations. You were difficult or troubled from grief. I should have pushed harder. Will you help me now? Absolutely. But Zinnia, you need somewhere safe to stay. I'm 18. I just need enough money to get started. What about the life insurance? Your parents must have left something. Cordelia said there wasn't any. Mrs. Chen's face darkened. Let me look into that. What she found changed everything. My parents had left a substantial life insurance policy, meant for my education and living expenses. Cordelia had been receiving payments for 6 years, telling me there was nothing while pocketing every cent. That's fraud, Mrs. Chin said. And combined with what you've shown me about the church funds. Is it enough? More than enough. But we need to be strategic. We were. Mrs. Chin connected me with a lawyer who specialized in financial abuse cases. We quietly built our case, the embezzlement, the insurance fraud, the documented abuse, the witness statements from the book club disaster. Meanwhile, I played the subdued niece, scrubbing and cleaning while secretly applying for jobs and searching for apartments. Ilara helped, creating alibis when I needed to meet with lawyers. Why are you helping me? I asked her one day. She's your mom. She's a monster, Ilara said simply. And when you get out, you're taking me with you. The hammer fell on a Tuesday. Cordelia came home from her church volunteer shift to find investigators waiting. They had warrants for her financial records, questions about missing funds, concerns about insurance fraud. This is ridiculous, she screamed. I'm a pillar of this community. But pillars crumble when their foundations are rotten. The investigation revealed everything. Years of embezzlement. The stolen insurance money. Tax fraud for claiming credits while treating me as unpaid labor. The church pressed charges immediately. The insurance company followed suit. You did this, she hissed at me during one of the hearings. You ungrateful little. I documented the truth, I said calmly. You did this to yourself. The trial was swift. Cordelia tried to play the martyred caregiver, but the evidence was overwhelming. The book club ladies testified about what they'd witnessed. Mrs. Chin presented reports about the missing insurance money. The church's forensic accountant detailed years of theft. 5 years in prison. That was her sentence. 5 years, plus restitution. The house had to be sold to pay back what she'd stolen. But there was poetic justice in that, the insurance money she'd hidden was finally released to me, along with damages for the years of fraud. It's enough for college and then some, my lawyer explained. You can start fresh. Thane and Alara helped me move into my first apartment. It was tiny, just a studio near the State University, but it was mine. "I can't believe you did it," Thane said, assembling my second-hand furniture. "You actually escaped." "We all did. She can't hurt any of us anymore." Alara, now living with Thane while finishing high school, hugged me tight. "You saved us. We saved each other. College was everything I'd dreamed. I majored in social work, determined to help kids like me who were trapped in abusive situations everyone ignored. Marlo was my roommate junior year, and we spent late nights studying and healing from our respective traumas. Remember when she made you clean the bathroom with a toothbrush?" Marlo asked one night. "Which time?" I laughed, but it was real laughter now. Not the bitter kind. "You know what's funny? She always said discipline built character. Turns out she was right, just not how she meant it." She was right. The discipline of documenting abuse, of building a legal case, of surviving until I could escape, that built more character than any forced cleaning session. Cordelia got out after 3.5 years for good behavior. I heard through Thane that she moved in with her sister 2 states away, still playing the victim, still blaming everyone but herself. "She says you destroyed her life," he told me during our monthly coffee catch-up. "Good. Maybe she'll think twice before destroying someone else's. She tried to contact me once. A letter full of manipulation disguised as apology. 'I only wanted what was best for you,' she wrote. We got her out. Safe housing, legal protection, a chance at the life she deserved. Another soul saved from someone who confused control with care, cruelty with discipline. That's my real revenge. Not just escaping Cordelia, but ensuring her kind can't hide behind respectability anymore. Every kid we help, every guardian we expose, every life we change, that's justice multiplied. Cordelia wanted me to learn my place. I did. My place is standing between abusers and their victims, armed with knowledge, resources, and the absolute certainty that no child deserves what I endured. She taught me discipline, all right. The discipline to document, to endure, to wait for the right moment. The discipline to build a case so airtight that not even a pillar of the community could escape justice. Most importantly, she taught me that actions have consequences. She just never expected to face any herself. So let me ask you, have you ever had someone mistake your kindness for weakness, only to discover you were documenting their cruelty the whole time? Sometimes the best revenge isn't just escape, it's making sure they can never hurt anyone else again.